All right, welcome. Mike Adams here with a special Memorial Day weekend update on shooting and firearms and false flags and all of that. So we now have, from reliable sources, 100% confirmation that the Uvalde school shooting was a federally run false flag operation, meaning they allowed it to happen. They allowed the violence to take place. They allowed the children to be killed and the teachers. They told local law enforcement to stand down while the feds went in there and confiscated all the video, all the mobile phones, made sure there was no surveillance video recording from the school, you know, that they didn't confiscate. They made sure the door was propped open. They made sure the shooter was ready and prepped on his 18th birthday, all of it. The feds ran this entire operation and local law enforcement fell for it. So there are so many takeaways from this. I mean, number one, understand that the feds will allow children to be massacred in broad daylight in order to try to get gun control. There's no one they won't kill to try to take away your guns because, of course, they need the Second Amendment to be taken away so that they can then complete their transformation of America into an authoritarian prison camp where no one can resist federal tyranny. That's been their goal for a long time, you know, since the 1990s, easily, under Bill Clinton. They haven't been able to pull it off, but they're going to keep trying. I mean, every time there's a Democrat in the White House, so there's more school shootings and false flag operations and bombings and everything else. It's all run by the feds. Oklahoma City was run by the feds. 9/11, run by the federal government. I could go on and on. It's always run by the feds. In fact, if the feds weren't running the terrorist operations, there would be no terrorism in America. Even the fake kidnapping of Governor Whitmer, Michigan governor, total Fed operation, FBI ran the whole thing. But of course, you know that if you're listening to this, you already know that. But here's the upshot that we've got to consider. Number one, the police won't help you. No matter what's going down, you could be in a church or a school in this case where a mass shooter is actively massacring children or innocent people, senior citizens, whatever. And people are screaming and people are calling 911 and screaming, help us, help us, help us. We are alive. There's a shooter in here. You could do all that. The police will stand around in the parking lot with their dicks in their hands doing nothing. And how do we know that? Because that's what they did. Now, I know there are police who won't do that. And good for you. And there's obviously a Border Patrol agent who refused to do that. But the one thing that we've learned over these years is that far too many police are obedient to their chain of command to a fault, where even if children are being murdered in broad daylight within earshot, like they can hear the gunfire and they can hear the children screaming, they will still follow orders. There's a problem. So what they've done is they've taken out of the ranks anybody who was willing to think for themselves. And that's true in medicine, and that's true in policing, and that's true in a lot of different areas. Of course, it's true in government as well. I mean, that's just crazy. Now, I got to say, by the way, just as a disclaimer here, I support the men and women in blue. I have a bumper sticker that says police lives matter. I don't drive around with that bumper sticker, but I mean, I own a bumper sticker like that. The men and women in blue are very important to keep our society safe. But for God's sake, they've got to learn to think for themselves. And there are times when you must disobey the chain of command when you have to intervene to stop a mass shooter and save lives. Okay. I don't care if your chief told you to wait in the parking lot. If you hear shooting and screaming, you go in there. That is your training. Those are the protocols. You are supposed to do that. If your police chief tells you to stand down, first go shoot the mass shooter, like, you know, go shoot the killer. And then after that, go arrest your police chief, because your police chief is a criminal, probably got paid off, probably corrupt. So yes, first deal with the shooter. And then I guess second, you know, handle anybody who's injured or wounded, right? Stop the bleeding if somebody's been shot and so on. And then I guess third, go arrest your own police chief if this is what they've been doing, telling you to stand down. It's time for law enforcement in America to stand up for what is right and stop just following orders like a bunch of brainless Nazi soldiers. You can't just follow orders all the time when children are being massacred or other similar situations. But anyway, for you and I as, you know, civilians, I just want you to understand that if you call police, you might as well just freaking jump off a tall building or something, because you call police, it's pointless. It's useless. They're probably not going to show up. Even if they show up, they're probably not going to do anything. I mean, depending on the areas, I know there are good cops and there are good sheriffs and so on. And we got a lot of law enforcement that listen to this podcast. And I applaud you, those of you who are doing your jobs. And you know that what went down in Texas at Uvalde was a total violation of training, by the way. But there are far too many cops who will not help. And we've gone over the reasons for that. You know, for whatever reason, a lot of cops now don't want to put themselves in harm's way. And you heard that from, who was it, that spokesperson of the Texas DPS. He said, well, you know, gosh, they didn't go in there because they could have been shot. Really? Really? They could have been shot. That's your excuse? Because I'm pretty sure when you sign up to be a cop, I'm sure you sign a big, long disclaimer that says you could be shot. I mean, you're putting your life on the line. Now, maybe we should pay cops more. I'm pretty sure we should. And I know we should equip them more. They need better gear. You know, they need shields and battering rams and everything in every vehicle. So there's more we could do to support cops. But don't tell me they're not going to go in because, oh, they're afraid to get a shot. Really? Okay. Unbelievable. As I said on the Alex Jones Show, that's like a firefighter rolling up on a burning building with people dying inside and the firefighter saying, oh, I can't go in there. I might get burned. That's your job. You are a firefighter. Like, think about it. it's like a pilot. I don't know, like an Air Force pilot flying a fighter jet. Is, oh, I can't fly that plane. I might get hit with a missile. Yeah, that's your job, man. What are you waiting for? So with the big takeaway here being that police will not help you. Increasingly, that is the case. Even if they want to, they don't have the training or they don't have the number of members on the force to be able to respond in a timely manner, because society's breaking down, everything's going insane, there's too many crazy shootings anyway. This means you have to be your own first responder. So what does that mean, being your own first responder? Well, whatever the emergency is, you are your first best response, even if you then call for help. But again, that help's probably not coming. So how long does it take you to draw your pistol and fire it at somebody who's trying to murder you? Well, even with a little bit of training, most people can do that in 2 to 3 seconds. And those of us who've had a lot of training can do that in just under 1 second. And I know because we've done all kinds of timing drills and everything. But yeah, to get that under a second, to pull and aim and fire in under a second, that takes a lot of training. But it can be done. In any case, an untrained person or a barely trained person can still do it in 2 or 3 seconds. Or let's just say it's 5 seconds. Well, the police are 20 minutes away. So would you rather respond in 5 seconds or 20 minutes? Or even if the police are fast in your area and they respond in 5 minutes, because that's a fast response, would you rather respond in 5 seconds or 5 minutes? Well, 5 seconds is when you carry your firearm loaded, ready to go, and you've got training and you've got it on your hip, you know, you're ready to go. 5 minutes is when, I don't know, you run around and try to find your phone. You try to dial 911 while dodging bullets, I guess, or something. And then you try to say, oh, I'm under attack. Send the police. And then they say, where are you? And then you're still dodging bullets. And then you have to give them your address, or maybe they know it from the 911 call. But somehow you got to communicate all this while not getting shot. And then I guess you got to wait around for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes for the cops to show up. So what are you doing at that time? I mean, are you, where are you hiding that whole time? If there's a killer in your house or a killer in your school or a killer in your church. So forget it. Forget it. Be your own first responder. And that also means knowing how to stop bleeding. Be your own EMT. I don't mean you got to have every skill that an EMT has, but you can cover the basics. You can learn how to stop bleeding. You can learn how to apply pressure with a bandage, how to apply a blood stop or what's like a clotting gauze. You can learn how to stuff gauze into bullet wounds. You can learn how to apply a tourniquet, a little twisty tourniquet, strap that sucker on, twist it down until they scream, and then you know it's tight enough. You can stop the blood. And that might keep you alive until, you know, the other responders arrive. So let's stop calling police first responders. They are not. They are second responders. You are the first responder. You. Cops are second responders. And that also means, of course, you gotta have gear in order to be your own first responder. So what kind of gear do you have? You know, do you have a firearm? Do you have a rifle? Do you have enough ammo? Do you have spare magazines? Do you have a red dot sight? Do the batteries work? Have you tested it lately? Do you have low light sights on your Glock or your SIG or whatever you're shooting? Night sights? Glow-in-the-dark sights, tritium sights. I mean, I hope you're not running the factory sights on most of those guns because you can't see anything in the dark, by the way. And that's when most of these things take place is, you know, at night in the dark and so on. So you got to have the right gear and you got to have training and you got to have the right mindset. So all of that comes with practice and investment. So stay tuned on my situation update. This coming week, I'm going to be endorsing a firearms manufacturer that makes a very, well, rather extraordinary folding firearm that allows you to deploy an AR-15, even in 300 blackout, that can be folded and put into a backpack so that you can respond and deploy that firearm and help stop mass shooters. So that's going to be my podcast, I think, Monday morning, the Situation Update podcast. So watch for that. You're going to love that. I'm also going to do a whole video on that and show you how this thing works because it's really amazing. It's a real breakthrough in kind of firearms deployment technology. You're going to like it. So also be sure to check out my free downloadable book. It's called Resilient Prepping. And that's available at resilientprepping.com. It's an audiobook plus a printable PDF transcript. resilientprepping.com. Thank you for listening. Take care.